The OJs, For the Love of Money. That song gets us into our next segment here. We are all spending more of it this time of the year. I am, at least. I bet you are, too. And what do we buy? Gifts, food, decorations. But, you know, really important to keep in mind that you don't want to end up with a huge bill come January. And we'll be talking about budgeting your money for the holidays a bit now with Claire Dahl. Claire is a financial and lifespan educator for UW-Madison's Division of Extension in Dane County. And she'll give us some strategies to cut back on spending and tell you how to keep track of what you buy or what I buy. And as we talk with Claire, I hope you'll join in. How are you saving money this holiday season? Maybe you've got some low-cost gift ideas. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Claire Dahl, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So maybe tell us more about how you and your colleagues help people out with their personal finances.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the first word that comes to mind is often budgeting. And in preparation for this show, I looked up a couple of statistics, and I read that a Gallup poll says that people on average spend about $1,000 on holiday gifts every season. But you also mentioned additional costs to holidays, yeah, like food, decorations, travel, maybe a new piece of clothing for a special occasion. So I think the holiday spending that we think of goes far beyond the gifts. But that being said, gifts are one of those things that we might have control over more than other areas of life. You might not want to miss out on travel to see your family, but you might be able to have a little bit more control over the spending that you're doing on gifts.
Yeah. Well, it brings a lot of stress for many folks, doesn't it?
Definitely. In one of my program areas, I do some financial coaching, and I meet with people who talk about wanting to reduce their financial stress. And what's been really interesting about that, like I said, budgeting comes to mind, but we like to use the word spending plan, because a spending plan is really about you taking control over where your money is going. And sometimes that feeling of having a plan or having control over it, just getting it down onto paper, can start to reduce that stress.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other ways we can, you know, just reduce that financial stress.
Yeah, so I think that one of the things also that comes to mind right alongside with a spending plan or budgeting is tracking, or just being more aware. So I wouldn't encourage anybody to just make dramatic changes or say, I'm going to change all of these areas of my financial picture immediately. You're probably going to get overwhelmed and ultimately won't be very successful. But if there's one area of your life that you know you might have a little bit of wiggle room on, these more commonly might be shopping outside of the holiday season, or food purchases, or, you know, the extras that we treat ourselves to. If you're just tracking that amount each month, you might find that you have a little bit more wiggle room than you thought.
Yeah, and I get that every time I go to my credit union account, I get the pie chart,
mm-hmm,
which shows where I've spent. And, you know, there are fixed costs in there, but I can look and, oh, that piece of the pie got a little bigger this month if it was on something extraneous.
Yeah, very rarely are people fully aware, especially, you know, like I said, with food costs. Groceries are very expensive. Things are just dramatically more expensive than they were just a few years ago. So sometimes we don't even realize how much they've grown until we really sit down and look at, you know, one of those specific areas to see what we're spending.
You know, there's this idea that it's impolite to talk about money, mm, with friends and family.
Yes.
What do you think about that? And maybe how do you talk about it in a, let's say, a constructive way?
Yeah. Well, I was really drawn to my position at UW Extension Dane County because I love talking about money. I love to make it normal and a topic of conversation. And I don't know if my friends and family always appreciate it. But I think it only takes one person to kind of broach the subject, and you'll often find that other people might be having the exact same thoughts that you're having. You know, maybe you think that everyone wants to bring four gifts for every person, or even one gift for every person. But people in the same room might be thinking, I wish this was a little bit more simple or a little bit less stressful. So I think opening up the conversation is actually the one of the biggest tips that we have, is rethinking what we're doing, pausing, be a little bit more aware and conscious of our decisions, and then opening up that conversation to see if holidays with families can be spent focused in other ways that aren't necessarily about buying gifts or spending money.
Got a relative or a loved one, let's put it that way, who's maybe struggling financially, let's say, without, how do you talk to that person, a loved one, without making them feel bad about their situation?
Yeah, I mean,
I think they usually start, those conversations, as I recall, usually start with, well, you shouldn't have done this.
And sure, coming in. So I think one of the reasons that people do not like talking about money is because there can be so many emotions and feelings behind it. And sometimes that might include shame or guilt, which is, I think, what you're mentioning, is coming right in with the judgment is probably not the best way to do it. Because oftentimes, a person's financial situation has nothing to do with what they've been doing. They could be working hard. It could they could be employed full time. It could be an illness. It could be something completely outside of their control that has derailed their finances or made it harder for them to be more financially stable. And so I would say coming to that conversation with really just open concern and allowing someone to know that you're there to talk to them. And if they don't want to talk to you about it, they don't have to. But saying, you know, I'm concerned about you. I know that this might be a challenging time for you this holiday season. Is there anything I can do to make it a little bit easier for you? And really letting them be the leader of that conversation. And like I said, if they're not comfortable with it, you don't need to push it or tell them, like you said, what you should have done differently or your own opinion. You could just open it up very gently to begin with.
Yeah. And let's talk about making that budget. You kind of mentioned a little bit picking an area, but talk more about that. Where in that pie chart, you know, might there be wiggle room?
Well, hopefully right before the stress of holiday finances is not the first time you're sitting down to look at your budget or your spending plan. I think the other people that scares the other part of spending plans that scare people is they think you're going to bust your budget within the first few days and then it's over. When really a budget or a spending plan is something that should be reviewed, changed, looked at, modified. Like I said, it's really only to create awareness for you and a feeling of control. Because if you want to spend the $1,000 on average that people spend on holiday gifts each season, that is completely your right. But what if you wanted to spend $1,000 and ended up spending $1,500 because you just weren't paying attention and find yourself behind on bills in January? So again, it's the awareness piece that's the most important. And that will come alongside as you track or as you're paying more attention sort of naturally.
Yeah, there are things you know that you're going to spend money on. All right, you've got house payment or you got rent, you've got, all right, well, you know, I'm shopping at the grocery store. I'm going to spend about this much every week. There are things that are, your insurance bill comes every month. There are certain things that you know that are going to be there. So you have to kind of eliminate those. I mean, you wish you could eliminate them, but that's a big block of money probably. Mm-hmm. And then you've got those other things.
Yeah. The more discretionary spending or the variable spending. And that is where we say you do have control over those things. Hopefully you're in a good enough financial position to have some discretionary spending. So that would be, you know, food, entertainment, clothing. And so maybe, again, you choose to splurge in the holidays, but over the rest of the year, you're setting aside between $20 or $40 a pay period, for example. So they do say that automatic savings through your financial institution is the most proven way to have savings be successful, because it's done for you and it's sort of out of sight, out of mind. So for example, $20 weekly would get you to about that $1,000 by the end of the year. Or if you're paid biweekly or have income coming in biweekly, $40 per paycheck would get you to that $1,000 by the end of the year.
Yeah. And that's something, hey, it's too late for this year, but why not make that a goal for next year if you haven't done it?
Exactly. It's very convenient that New Year's is right around the corner and you have New Year's resolutions. Like you said, if you're not quite ready to have that $1,000 or whatever the number is that you decide, it could be $100, it could be five. It's really up to each person. But set forward a goal to have that automatic savings so that you're not hit next January. Another statistic I found was that 28% of folks are still paying off credit card debt from the 2023 holiday. That goes back to showing a little bit of what you were talking about is it sounds like you use a debit card for most of your transactions. Is that right?
I actually use a credit card, but I pay the balance every month.
Okay.
I never run a balance.
Well, that's good. That's good. So, but one of the other strategies is to only use maybe one type of spending. So if you were really going to stick to a budget, you might want to have an envelope of cash so that you're, you know, being more aware. People tend to feel like cash is a little bit more real sometimes, so they might be a little bit more hesitant to freely spend it. Or if you're going to use a credit card, just use one so that you aren't spending all over the place with a department store card, an online account, a credit card, because that's going to be much harder to be more aware and track if you decide to at the end of the season.
Jonah in Green Bay has something for us. Hi, Jonah. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, go ahead. What's on your mind?
So I got a piece of advice for anyone who, like me, ends up shopping online and scrolling through all these deals at night in bed. Go wild, add stuff to your cart, stay with me, but don't go to your cart at the end of the night. Just add stuff as you think of it, and then go to bed. Wake up a little earlier in the morning and look at that same list, and just after some sleep, you might find that a lot of that stuff, you're like, I don't need this, or I don't even want this. But the dopamine of, like, adding it to your cart is what your brain was really asking for. And if you can't fall asleep, if you're like, if I did that, I'd just be thinking about my purchase all night, that's fine. Just wake up early, do the same thing, like, go wild on shopping, go to work, and then look at your list after work. Because you can't not go to work. That's something that's like, you know, you're forced to go somewhere, do other stuff for the day. It's not like sleep where it can keep you up. So just putting some time between adding to your cart and actually clicking buy.
All right. Well, what do you think of that strategy?
Yeah,
Claire?
I love that. I think anytime you can create a pause or a delay on some of those purchases, you'll find out exactly what you mentioned is that you're just caught up in the moment and you don't actually need or want that. There are teams and industries of people trying to make it easy for you to purchase, or those one-click purchases feeding you what you might be interested in or what you looked at previously. And so it's kind of up to us as individuals to fight against that big system of making it very easy for you to constantly be purchasing. So I love the idea of waiting till the next day or realizing your own habits around, you know, the daily habit of what he was doing and noticing within himself.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Claire Dahl, our guest today, financial and lifespan educator for UW-Madison's Division of Extension in Dane County. You can join in with your questions or maybe an experience to share as we talk about finances with Claire. Number to call is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. How to get through the holidays without breaking the bank. That's kind of on our minds today. And saving and financial security, your own as well, as we visit with Claire Dahl, financial and lifespan educator for UW-Madison's Division of Extension in Dane County. You can join in 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Claire, are there, you know, you're in a big county, I mean, in terms of population. Are there people with your kinds of skills in all the counties in the state?
Yeah, so extension is varied throughout all of the counties in Wisconsin. Some counties do not have extension educators within them, but on the UW Extension website, you can find the financial education resources available to all people in the state. There's also online virtual programming open to all people in the state, regardless of their county. But there are individual financial educators besides myself that operate operate throughout the state.
Kat in Green Bay emailed, one thing that Kat and a few friends are doing this year to spend less on gifts is doing a homemade food swap. They have plenty of canned goods and harvested food, and it kind of feels more meaningful.
Absolutely. Homemade gifts, you know, can be so much more meaningful, especially if the receiver is interested in that process, or maybe you do it with the person. Maybe you get together to share an experience of creating homemade gifts, which would be sharing that time with a loved one or a friend would actually be probably much more meaningful for the holiday season.
Pete emailed, he says he has a friend who's always lending his elderly mother money, and then she never pays Pete's friend back. Is Pete correct in his thinking that his friend should not be lending to his mother and enabling her? Can this friend help his mother become financially independent?
What an interesting question.
Isn't it?
Well, I think some would say that, I mean, from the very limited information I have from the friend, I think the friend kind of knows what he's doing, right? If she isn't paying him back, he's probably well aware of the risks. And so I'd probably just leave that be if I was asked that question. Obviously, if his friend is coming to him looking for advice, maybe you would think about ways to help the mother become more financially dependent. But maybe it's just an agreement between them and their family dynamic, which is perfectly okay.
Matt in Middleton has something for us. Hi, Matt.
Hello. This is something that worked for Christmas, but I think it works all year round. My kids' grandparents started doing this a few years ago. For each of the kids' birthdays, they would take that child out for dinner, and then they would give them $40 or $50. It's gone up a little over the years. And then they would go shopping with them. So that sort of sets the limit as to how much they're going to spend. But the thing that my kids always remember is like, so what do you want to do with grandma this year? It's like, well, last year we went and did this. Like, well, what did you get? Like, I don't remember. But they remember the experience of being at just them going someplace with grandma and grandpa. So I think that focusing on experiences and personal time and maybe set a dollar amount around that, like we'll take you out to Cracker Barrel or we'll take you out to someplace that isn't going to break the bank to go eat. And then they get a small amount of money to go shopping. That's really meaningful to little kids and up through even the teenage years. Once they get closer to being adults, you know, then they're more like, you know, would you like just cash this year? It's like, why don't we just go eat someplace nicer? And that's the stuff my kids remember. So I think that's a great financial way to set a dollar limit, but then you get to go along with them and have an experience.
That sounds like one. That's great, Matt. I think, Claire, you got to agree with me on that.
Yeah, of course. Spending the time together, doing something different, doing something memorable. I was actually thinking about, in preparation for this show, how one time around the holiday season, some neighbors took me down to Chicago to see the Macy's Day holiday windows. And we literally window shopped. I don't think we even went in the Macy's. I don't remember eating out. We completely were participating in all of the festive and holiday spirit by looking at the windows. And it was incredibly memorable and meaningful to think about how are these people, you know, exposing me to a new part of the holiday season that I had never seen in a new place, but we did not purchase anything.
Great experience. And Matt, thanks again. I really enjoyed hearing from you. And here's another email. If someone in your family sets a limit for what they will spend on gifts, even if they could afford more, should you reciprocate that limit or just go ahead and spend what you want?
That's an interesting question. I often think that the gift giver is the person who is guided more by their feelings or emotions. And so if a person really loves giving gifts, who's to say that you shouldn't spend more, I guess? It's completely up to the gift giver. I think the problem is when there's an expectation for reciprocation for those higher level gifts that it becomes an issue because you don't always know what other people in your networks, what their financial situation are. And so I would hope a generous gift giver would be equally understanding for those that are a little bit more frugal in their gift giving.
Yeah. I was thinking about my own situation. A long time ago, I mentioned the credit card business. I had run a balance, and I came into a little bit of money, and I used it to pay off the credit card. And it's been many years now. Sometimes it hurt at the end of the month, but I always paid it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I just didn't want to give away my money.
Yeah, discussions around credit, debt, interest, those are all very personal decisions, and people can feel very attached to what they think is most important and their priorities. It's nice to hear that you were able to avoid that. I would hope that, you know, at least the best advice I can give is if you overextend yourself on a credit card, you're making at least that minimum payment on time, because we do know that a late payment is really going to damage your credit history or your credit score. It could also create late fees. And so, again, if you find yourself in the position that you've overspent this holiday season and you are carrying a balance, as many people do, obviously, if a quarter of us are paying it off a year later, you at least make sure that your payments are on time.
So there are lots of people in debt, as we were just talking about here, that can get to be overwhelming. What's the best way to start chipping away at that debt?
Well, if it's possible, everyone's situation is different. And like I said, I don't ever mean to be disrespectful for people who have had personal tragedies, illnesses, or other things that affect their ability to stay out of debt. But obviously, the easiest way and most simplest way to think about it is to either increase your income or decrease your spending to free up a little bit more money for those debt payments. And also understanding that it's probably going to take a while to get out of debt in the current financial landscape where, many people are living paycheck to paycheck or don't have a ton of wiggle room at the end of the month. So if you're not able to increase your income with, a part-time job or a second job or finding a higher paying job, the other way to look at it is to decrease those expenses.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, many of those might be fixed expenses, but maybe there would be an opportunity to shop around for insurance or a different cell phone plan. Maybe there would be an opportunity to utilize, certain public access resources around for a temporary period of time while you get back on your feet.
And it's probably important to make it a financial well-being. It could be just a part of your daily practices.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to kind of forget about that. But I think if you think about it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So many people don't like to talk about money or don't think about it except for around the time when they have to pay bills or when they're in a stressful situation. But I really haven't been able to think of a parallel other than health and well-being related to food or exercise that we interact with as much as our finances. We make decisions every single day about what we're going to do and how we're going to live because, unfortunately, to exist costs money, right? I mean,
yeah.
to eat costs money, to have lights and housing costs money. And so financial well-being is definitely going to be better if you are cognizant, aware, and making those tiny little manageable changes that move you towards the goal. I think one of the things that has come up in this idea of holiday spending is it is so easy to get wrapped up in the immediate needs or the seeing that delight on that child's face or getting your best friend the thing they would love the most, when really what we should be thinking about alongside of those short-term payoffs is our long-term financial picture. And so if you're a person that has found yourself behind in January, How do you help yourself today not get into that more of a complicated situation in January?
Yeah, and I do like the idea of let's get started in January for next December.
Yeah, wouldn't that
be
amazing?
Even if we have a little debt,
setting
something aside.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's a $20 bill in your desk drawer or that automated payments through your financial institution, who's going to be upset to have an extra $500 or $1,000 at the end of the year that you sort of made happen yourself with those little choices?
I like that automatic, because once it's automatic, you learn to live without it.
Exactly. And it's not like you lose it. You can easily transfer it back from savings if you need to, if something comes up or your car breaks. But at least if that doesn't happen, you're not spending it on what we call spending leaks, which is just sort of, you know, small purchases, small things that just leak away from us. And then we wonder where all our money went.
Where'd it go? Claire, thank you so much. Here we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Hope we can do this again and down the road. And I will look forward to that, and I hope you will, too.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you for having me.
Claire Dahl, financial and lifespan educator for UW-Madison's Division of Extension in Dane County. Great to have her with us today. And, of course, always great to have our staff of people, Jeff Robbins, Lee Rayburn, our technical directors, our producers, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, our executive producer, the overall boss, Jill Nadeau. And I'm Trey Little Log here. I'm Larry Beeler. Thanks a lot for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store right through the afternoon on WPR News.